Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com.
Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Might be throwing you a little bit of a curveball here, Ray, but if that's the case, and Larry Brooks is usually pretty dialed in, what do you think of Gerard Gallant with the Rangers?
Good for him. I've not quite understood why he got fired either time, to be honest with you. Like, I never quite understood it. Like, things were kind of going well in Florida, weren't they? And then he got the pipe. And, you know, he got the roadside cab service. And then... they're in the finals 1 year, and a year and a bit later, they're, you know, Pete DeBoer becomes available, and he gets punted again. And so I was really surprised. Maybe there's stuff to go, you know, obviously there's stuff goes on that we don't know about, but it never struck me as like, hey, the team's in a 14-game losing streak, you better fire the coach.
Ray, what kind of questions does he have to ask? Like, a veteran guy that's taken a team to the finals, been around a while, like, what would Chris Drury ask that guy to say, okay, or what kind of answer would this guy have to come up with for him to say, yeah, you're my guy?
So I'm guessing they're like, okay, look, we got all these young players, how are you going to deal with them? What do you think of Kako? What do you think of Fox? What do you think of Lafreniere? How are you going to put these lines together? How do you coach young guys? We don't want to be as patient, maybe, or, you know, as slowly developing as things were going. How do we move to the next step? What are you going to do with Zibanejad and Panarin? What do you think of the goalies? How do you manage a big market? You know, the funny part is, like, in a big market, right, you're going to be out there and talking to the, you know, to the press every day, and, you know, it's not like Gerard's going to get up there and be the most colorful guy around. Like, that's just not the way he is. He's a really, really nice man. Like, he's really quiet, and he, you know, you're going to get a lot of, yep, thank you, and move on. And I think they would ask probably, how will you deal with the media? Because they're going to be all over us all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I keep, in talking to coaches throughout the league, the one thing you keep hearing, the consistent common denominator, is, you mentioned it, Ray, managing. Like, these kids nowadays, and I say kids because he's going to be dealing with the Kakos and Lafreniere, like, it's how do you manage the personalities on a team? Because a lot of it, some coaches are really sharp with X's and O's. Other coaches, it's more about, hey, let's get everyone feeling good and playing on the same page. And that's the message I get from a lot of coaches. It's just managing those individual personalities. And my understanding is Gerard is really good at that. Like, he's a guy that isn't shy to be honest, kind of like Craig Berube in St. Louis. He tells it like it is, but he also knows when to kind of, you know, pull back on guys and knows what buttons to press on others. And that's the one thing I've heard about Gerard and coaching in the National Hockey League. It's not so much X's and O's, but just managing the group.
Well, don't forget, too, you know, and as far as the coaching part, Drury was the manager of the U.S. team at the Worlds. So he would have watched Gallant up close for 3 weeks, coaching the Canadian entry. They also flew over on the same plane and flew back on the same plane. So whatever reconnaissance he would have wanted to do, it would have been sitting right at his doorstep for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I look, and David Quinn, they hired as a first-time NHL coach out of college. And so, you know, the way that always seems to work, an inexperienced guy is followed by a veteran guy. Quote-unquote player's coach is followed by a hard ass, or the other way around. It's like, it's kind of the same formula all the time, it seems like, anyway.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So the Habs are back at it tonight in Vegas, and they are about to experience something they have not experienced in 18 months. It's going to be a pack barn. It's going to be going nuts. And I feel like that has to be a part of certainly teeing up the game, but also analyzing the game tonight. because they could find themselves in unfamiliar territory pretty quickly. They have not given up the first goal in a game in seven games. Haven't given up the first goal. So could you imagine if Vegas scores 2 minutes into the game tonight and you have not been down in quite some time and you haven't played in front of 20,000 hooligans in quite some time? If that plays out, and it wouldn't shock me it did.
Don't you think it would jack them up too, though, Hayes? The
Montreal? You would think so. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, you're on the wrong side of it. You're on the road. You know, and I hear what you're saying, because players always say they'd rather play in front of a packed barn because you get fired up. But if they give up a goal early, maybe two, and it's going crazy in there, they got to settle in quickly, like real quick. And I could see that playing out tonight.
Yeah, but they might not. They might not tonight. You know, and we only have to go back to the first game of the last round where Vegas looked like they had gumboots on, and Colorado was skating 1,000 miles an hour. And then Vegas played the best game five games in a row. So Montreal might get out there and they might, I'll say get spooked, you know, but they might get spooked tonight. Like they might give up a fast one, or say the game's 0-0 and you give up bang, bang, two in a row. And now all of a sudden you're like, the building's on fire. They haven't, as you mentioned, they haven't seen that all year. There's no momentum in the buildings with no fans. And they're going to run into that at some point in Vegas. And if they don't, that means they played another perfect game. But I think at some point they're going to have, you know, like they're going to have one of those stretches where they're running around like crazy and somehow they come out of it. And then the game gets settled down. Maybe that's on Price. Maybe they get a counterattack goal, you know, something like off the run of play. But it's going to be different for sure. It's going to be great. And then there's going to be a point where it's not so great. And they'll have to deal with that. But it's going to be, I believe it's a factor somewhere for sure.
Ray, I generally have difficulty, like, tipping my hat to coaches. I'm just like, I played for so long, and I just think the players go out and do it. But when I watch a Barry Trotz team play, and I listen to the comments about the simplicity, the approach, I mean, you just got to give your, you got to tip your cap to this guy. They're like a fine-tuned machine. Like, strategically perfect, and they just suck you into turnovers, and it's the same thing, and they get timely goal scoring by their skill. It's just an impressive operation to watch.
I totally agree, and the thing that I find with it is, like, they play the same game all the time.
Every game.
Like, it's like, oh, my God, they did it again. Like, it might not be as perfect as yesterday, but you're like, yeah, I've seen this game before. They, like, early on, they miss those two power plays, and you think, oh, gee, that's going to be a, you know, that could be a turning point in the game, and then it wasn't. And they just check and check and check. You guys must have seen that stat somewhere. The chances off the rush were 9-0.
9-0.
Like 9-0. Like that's a whitewash. How does Tampa not get one chance
off the rush?
It's unreal. Like, and Trotz is, they've perfected that game, you know, with the, you know, first of all, they've got about 10 guys that have been there for 5 years. Like, they've got familiarity in their roster. Barry's game doesn't change, right? Like, the way that he preaches to the players, the way that he coaches to them. There's been lots of nights where Matt Barzell, you know, was by far their most, you know, dynamic player, has played 14 minutes. He just didn't like his game that night. So they play 14 minutes, and Casey Cizikas runs around, and that line hems everybody in the zone for a whole bunch, and they win 3-1. Get outshot 38-20. But they're not 38 shots they really worry about. Like, I'm super impressed with what they've done. And just like the other, you know, like I mentioned about the Vegas-Colorado series, doesn't mean it's over either. That's game one. And now Tampa's got to adjust for game two. But it's sure as hell not going to be easy. That's for sure.
No, it's not. And like you guys said, if the Islanders play the exact same way every game, you know, and there's some variance in there. Like, it's going to be a little bit better some nights, a little bit worse other nights. And the opponent's allowed to show up and play as well, obviously. Yeah. But all they have to do, not all they have to do, you're talking about a semifinal here, but play to that level 50% of the remaining games and you're through. You don't have to win in four. You have to put on a masterpiece and win in five and win in seven. It doesn't matter. You're through. And for them to take that first step, is just massive in terms of
momentum. Winning that first game on the road.
It's huge on the road for a team like that.
But you know what? I don't know if you guys watched it from start to finish, but you could just see Tampa. I said this, I think, last show, where I was worried for Tampa that
that's
that was
as bad as
the
they
Columbus.
Can play noodles. Well, that was as bad as they could play.
They had chances, but Columbus did that to them a couple years ago in that round where they swept them, where it was like there was nowhere for them to go, and they started showing frustration. I mean, Hedman at the end of the second period takes a slap shot down the ice because he's pissed because they can't get anything going. Like, that's one thing. They are going to have to regroup. Stamkos got benched in the third because he had that turnover that cost them a goal. Like, you're right. Tampa, that wasn't their best. But that's the Islanders in a nutshell, and they've got to find a way to fight through that because it's not going to change. And
well, I'll tell you, Noodles, what, as I'm listening to the comments after the game about patience and puck management and puck control and discipline and all that, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, like to the guys, and yeah, that's right, that's correct, but you can't dumb your game down to take away what you do well, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to play to your, if you're going to try and play the Islanders style so you can beat them, you're going to lose. Because they've built their team that way. You still have to attack. You still have to move the puck. You have to try and put them in a position where they take a penalty. They had scored over 50% of their goals on the power play in the first two rounds. And did they even have one, or did they have one yesterday? Like, there was almost none. So they've got to put the Islanders in a position to actually take a penalty. Because they sure didn't do it in the first. I mean, look. Look at the goals, too. I mean, the first goal, Cirelli skating backwards, and he gets, I don't know what happened. He stepped on a banana peel, and then, McDonough takes a penalty. Now they're on the power play, and they lose a little momentum, and it's like, man, that's not Tampa's game. That's not what they do. But it was yesterday.
Well, it does feel like there's a couple of philosophies at play here that are clashing in this series in particular. And I do think Tampa also has depth. I think they've got the best depth, arguably, in the league. But they do have that high-end talent that they'll lean on. You know, like, there will be games where Braden Point and Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman's going to play 30 minutes, and the big boys are going to go over the boards 23, 24 minutes. It's going to happen. That basically never happens with the Islanders. It never happens with the Habs. I don't think it happens a ton with Vegas. You know, I think Stone will play a fair amount, Pacioretty if he's moving, you know. But it kind of feels like, drawing it back to a couple of teams up here that we focused on more than anyone else this year, Toronto and Edmonton in particular, where it's like those guys are going to play 25 minutes a night, and then the rest, we'll see what happens.
Right.
With Trotz, I would say with Ducharme, I think so with DeBoer in Vegas, in a lot of ways, they go in fully expecting balance, you know, or close to it. And there's going to be disparity based on power plays and penalty kills and all that kind of stuff. But 5-on-5, there's a lot more balance. And at this point in the lottery, you know, those are three of the four teams left. So those philosophies, I would say, are winning right now.
Yeah, one point that, and then another that I saw too yesterday was that. So they also don't have, they don't have a McDavid or a Draisaitl or a Matthews. And if they did, they probably wouldn't play them those minutes anyway. But maybe if you do, you don't have some of your depth because you can't afford it.
Right.
You know, so you're not going to say I don't want a star. Or a superstar, right? That's what you have. I do think, because we're in Toronto, playing Mitch Marner 23 minutes a night is too much. 56 times a year. In my opinion, it's too much. You know, can you not find somebody else to kill penalties? Give them a burn of 3 minutes less?
Yeah.
Maybe extra pressure, maybe.
I think that'll change, don't you, Ray? Don't you think next year, Keefe will probably, I could see him day one saying, we're going to adjust some of our minutes during the regular season.
How about 19 or 20 of the best hockey you can play?
Yeah, and if it's a close game, third period, and they got to go out every other shift, go ahead. Play 24,
you know. Let me ask you guys this, though. Sorry, Ray, but if one of these teams other than Tampa wins the Cup, do people start to look at the construction of their team different?
Well, maybe what they might look at is, and this was going to be, it's funny you say that, Noodles, this is going to be my second point, was have you seen the size of the defense groups of the four teams left?
Huge.
They're four groups of skyscrapers. There's no room. So to have a defense with a bunch of guys that might be 5'10", it's not been proven ever to be effective.
They do this every year, other than that decor that Chicago had that wasn't, I don't remember them being that big, but if you go to LA's D, St. Louis D, Tampa's D, it's all about
Washington.
It's, yeah. Yeah. Our buddy there, Bab, says length, size. Like, you gotta, I don't know. That's what's most effective. And it's
like,
the same thing
dynamic,
every year.
Right? Dynamic, power play, you know, like that. That's one, you can have one of those guys, or maybe two. But you need guys to clog the zone up. Mm-hmm. Like, just be in the way. Look at the top four of Montreal when Petrie's back in there. They're giant. They're giant. If they get beat, they lie down on the ice. It's like having four canoes in there. You can't get around anybody.
Right. Well, look at that happen to that Sammy Girard guy. Everybody raided.
This guy's got the puck all the time. Possession, spinorama.
He got steamrolled in that series.
He did. And you know what? Now they're talking about him being available.
Don't you
small
guys, you guys. Don't you
I'm not.
On
but
the
everyone
small.
Was like, this guy's got the puck on his stick more than any other left-handed defenseman that shoots.
Understand. He got steamrolled.
The one thing that I would say, though, is it's a difference between regular season and the playoffs. Like, because Montreal, those D, what were we saying when down the stretch when they were hitting the wall? It's like, nah, that D's not that mobile. You know, Bergevin built a team that's kind of old and slow back there. And all of a sudden in the playoffs, playoff hockey's different, and it's more physical, and you got to get to the front of the net to make. All of a sudden that D is very effective. So, you know, there's almost two schools of thought here, the way that, you know, playoff success and regular season success has unfolded in this particular season anyways.
Well, I don't know, Noodles. I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head. I mean, maybe I'm way wrong, but I don't recall teams with a bunch of zippy little D-men making the semifinals. Like, I can't think of it. There always seems to be an element of strength and size to this thing. Mm-hmm. So they've got to get themselves through the regular season somehow. And maybe you have a better balance of it. But, yeah, you know, size and skill. It'd be nice to have skill. Like, you know, it's pretty hard to say, like, you know, you're going to have a 6'3" defenseman that can run your power play. That's probably not the case most of the time.
Look at Ottawa. They got two of them. They got Mete and Brännström, both young, skilled guys that can move the puck. But if you're going to do something and make a transition and try to make, like, progress, how effective can those guys be when things get tough? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Well, because at some point they're going to be having to defend a guy that's 210 pounds.
That's
and
right.
It's going to, and you can only have quick feet so much.
Correct.
Yep. Well, we'll see how it gets started tonight. It's going to be a fun one. Prime time, too, I think, right? 9 o'clock start. So
that's not
prime
time.
By the way, I don't want to leave because I hate when I come in on the tail end of something. What the hell's going on golf match-wise? What did I miss?
Tomorrow, it's a pay-per-view, the match.
Me and him are playing for the first time. Mr. Shoulders, I'm going to see what he's got because he's been claiming he can hit the ball 20, 40 yards longer than he used to.
Okay, can we go with 20? You don't have to stretch it from 20 to 40.
All right, 20. 20 it is. And I want to put eyes on it, and I'm working on my short game, and he's going to put eyes on that. So
I think there's a potential, this other story about the Corn Ferry Tour where one dude punched another guy.
Yes.
I think there's a chance this could be something that happens tomorrow.
Oh, I kind of hope so. It'd be great.
What is this story? They got in literally a fight on the green or something?
Crazy.
I don't know. What's going on there? Like, what kind of tour are they running?
It's a grind, man. The Happy
they
Gilmore
need Happy
Memorial.
Gilmore's commissioner in there. Doug,
exactly.
Kick him off the tour.
Come on, Doug. How am I supposed to chip with that, Doug? Yeah, that's
yes,
what's happening.
Yes, but have you seen the ratings?
That's all that matters, as we know. It's all about the ratings, and they'll be there tonight for the Habs in Vegas. You would think U.S. Open this week. We got a lot going on. So it's
I'm going to have some picks. I'm fired up.
Picks on Wednesday.
We're going with a 20-pack each.
Every guy in the field, amateurs, everything. So it'll be fun. Someone's winning, I guarantee you that. All right, buddy, we'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.